there are some people who feel like it really isn't necessary for them to quit smoking because they're not really at much of a risk. And the reason they feel this way is they have some people in their family who, oh my gosh, they lived until they're, you know, they were 80 or 90 and they smoked. And, you know, they just got this great genetic makeup. Well, let's consider the implication that maybe someone has great immunity to everything that smoking can cause. There's a fair number of people who die from smoking by kind of falling asleep with a cigarette in bed and starting the bed on fire. You know, unless the person is somehow genetically fireproof, there's a riskier to these people. But there's a whole lot of people who don't have any sort of genetic protective factor. It doesn't really exist for them. And yet, they will use the logic that, oh, they know of somebody. They heard of someone who, you know, lived a really long time who smoked, you know, so, like, how bad can it really be? One of my first encounters with the situation, it actually wasn't even my encounter. It was a story that was told to me by a physician who I used to work with who was really a pioneer, a very early anti-smoking physician. You know, there's a lot of them out there now, physicians who don't want their patients smoking because they knew what it did to them. But this guy, he felt this way long before there were a lot of physicians who felt this way. He was feeling this way when there were still, you know, a high percentage of physicians who smoked. I mean, again, going back into 1964, over half the men in our country smoked, and physicians were in that group, and they were smoking at very alarming rates. They didn't understand. I talk about this in one of the earliest videos I did, that when the Surgeon General report came out, all the physicians on that committee, or the majority of them, were cigarette smokers, including the Surgeon General at the time, Luther Terry. He was a smoker. So there were not a lot of, you know, physicians who were really coming down hard on the danger of smoking, you know, when we're going back into the 60s. Well, this one doctor was fanatical against it. And one of the reasons, he worked at Heinz Veterans Hospital in a suburb of Chicago. And he commissioned a study while he was there. He was trying to figure out what were variables that were predicting postoperative complications in his patients. And he was chief of thoracic surgery, and he had access to, you know, everybody's records, and he commissioned a study while he was there. And he found something that just stunned him. He didn't know when he commissioned this what the result was going to be and where it was going to aim. They found the primary variable that was predicting postoperative complications in their patient base was cigarette smoking. He found that the patients that didn't smoke, going in for major surgery, you know, these were cardiovascular and, you know, conditions, because he was chief of cardiothoracic surgery. He was finding that in the people that they were looking at, the ones who didn't smoke had a postoperative complication rate of 1 in 50, which meant that people who were getting pneumonias after surgery, blood clots after surgery, these could be very serious conditions. They could be life-threatening conditions. Well, they found that the rate of conditions in the non-smoking population of these veterans was 1 in 50. The rates for the smokers having these same procedures was 1 in 3. He was stunned when he saw that. And then what happened is they saw if they can get people off of smoking. When they were looking at people who were quitting smoking for just, you know, 1 week prior to surgery, he found the rates went to 1 in 12. It wasn't 1 in 50 yet, but it was a whole lot better than 1 in 3. So he recognized early on that there was a problem here that wasn't really being addressed. Well, he got to be known as a fanatic against smoking. And I think the other doctors at the time were almost still making fun of him because of what his beliefs were. He had a situation where there was an intern, young guy, he came across this patient, and the guy was 87 years old. 87 years old, dying of lung cancer. But he was like a three-pack-a-day smoker in the days when there weren't a lot of three-pack-a-day smokers. He'd been doing it for 50 or 60 years, and my God, he made it to 87 years old. This is what the intern, you know, saw when he met this patient. This is how he interpreted what he knew about this patient. He goes and gets the doctor I'm working with and says, come here, you got to meet this patient. You got to meet this guy. And, I mean, he's gloating about it. He just thought that this was just, you know, the most humorous thing because, oh, my gosh, what is this other physician making such a big deal for? Look at this guy. He pulls the physician I know into the room, and he doesn't say much to him. He says, you know, you're such a fanatic against smoking. You got to meet this patient. You got to look at him. He said, look at him. He's 87 years old. He says, you're not going to make the 87 years old. This is the intern talking to the you know, chief of thoracic surgery. He says, the guy smoked, you know, packs and packs a day for, you know, 50 years. And, you know, look, he made it to 87. What's this big deal you're making about smoking? He's looking at one patient, and now he's making this analysis. So he thinks that, and he thinks he's got, you know, the physician I'm dealing with, you know, just off guard, and this guy has no retort. I mean, what can you say to a case like this? The physician I was working with knew nothing about this patient. He did not have his history. He never looked at him before. This was the first encounter, and he took a chance. It could not have worked in some cases, but he took a chance. He goes up to the patient, and he says, how old was your father when he died? Now, the patient's in an oxygen mask. He can't talk. He has to take the mask off the answer. He takes the mask off, says, 104, sticks the mask back on. The doctor I was working with could have quit there. I mean, he basically had he already had his, you know, reply done. He could have stopped, but he took another chance. He said, how old was your mother when she died? She was in her late 90s. This guy was genetically predispositioned to go into his hundreds. His father was over his 100. The mother was, you know, again, in her late 90s. And this is back in the days when there were not a lot of people reaching this kind of, you know, level of life, the length of life. And this was happening back then. This guy was genetically predispositioned to go into the hundreds. What was he dying of? Lung cancer at 87, which, even if he was only going to go to 100, it was 13 years before it was supposed to happen for this guy. He was not supposed to die of this particular disease. So when you look at an individual situation like this, oh yeah, there's some people who, you know, make these extreme, you know, lengths of life who seem to smoke, but they are such a small percentage. One of the statistics that we use a lot at YQuit is half the people who, you know, smoke will end up dying from their smoking. And again, that's not saying the other half get away scot-free. You know, they often end up impaired or crippled. The second follow-up statement, though, that we often discuss there is, of those 50% of people who die, 50% of them die in middle age. They're dying between the ages of 35 and 69. We're not talking about people just not making it to their 70s or 80s or 90s. We're talking about people who may literally be knocking off some of the most important productive years of their life, dying at much younger ages. So, you know, for all those people who, you know, who fit that one extreme where they make it into their 90s and 100s, there's also the people on the other side of that chart who are now not making it into their 30s and 40s because smoking has killed them. So again, working with the basis that somehow you've got this genetic protection is ridiculous. And again, even in the case, if you do have good genes on your side, there are situations that smoking can induce and cause that genes can't protect you from. Again, if it's interfering with your reflexes and you're in an auto accident and you're killed in it and cigarettes were a factor in there, it didn't protect you, your genetics. The example I gave before, if you start a fire that you're going to get burned up in, you're not going to be protected by genetics. But even by great genetics, you do not know that cigarettes they're going to do something to you that somehow the rest of the family escape. It's not worth that risk. The way to minimize your risk, you can't change your genetics. You can't change your biological makeup. But you can change certain behaviors in your life to ones that are less dangerous and less risky. And the biggest one that people can change that is probably the most risky thing they're ever going to face is their cigarette smoking. And the way to minimize the risk of what smoking can do is simply to make and stick to that personal commitment to never take another puff.